the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
And it's Monday, May 13th, 2019.
We had one wonderful Game 7 Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
can you even believe all that shit that happened?
We could have had an even more amazing set of Game 7s.
But yeah, if Houston didn't just fucking blow it on Friday. But we'll get to that in a second. We are lucky to be joined in studio by a friend of mine, Kyle Kenyon, director and creator of the Schmatz indie TV series.
I'm excited to be here.
Yeah.
How do you spell Schmatz?
S-C-H-M-O-T-T-S.
Oh, here we go.
And I've had to tell people that a lot.
You gotta add S-C-H to an applesauce.
Well, because I wasn't sure if it was a Yiddish thing.
No, a lot of people think that too.
Yeah, like, I mean, so the web series is kind of a story about a middle-aged man who is a stepdad, who loves his car, you know, just very Toluca Lakey kind of guy. And I would not say that he's Jewish. I would say he's wants to be Italian. He might even not be Italian.
The actor who plays him, Matt Stotter, is like people constantly think he's Jewish, or will assume, like, if a Jewish holiday is coming up, they're like, oh, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm not Jewish.
Yeah. Yes.
So yeah, it's now carried over into like characters he's playing.
Yes, characters, well. Names. It's once you get typecast in Hollywood, baby, it's yeah, over. It's over for you.
Casey, just to remind me, I think we talked about Bucks Celtics last time, right?
We did. We so talked we about Bucks Celtics. We are ready to go.
Don't need to talk about that.
We are so done with Bucks Celtics.
Yeah. Well, let's see. What do you like about in basketball? Who's your teams?
My team is the Bulls.
There we go.
So lots to talk about.
It's been a while since we've talked about them in this time of the year.
Yeah.
Kyle is someone who I'm always on the lookout for a Noah jersey, a really good Noah jersey. And if I recall, you did buy a jersey recently.
I did buy one that you found. Sent me the link to NBA.com.
Yes.
I think like a massive sale, because the fact that they still had a Noah Bulls jersey at all.
So ridiculous. At this
point. It was like last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was insane. And I wore it. I wear it all the time. Yeah. I wear it like every, yes, like every Sunday, there's like several games on. I have to put it on because now, like, obviously Noah isn't playing and the Bulls aren't playing. So.
I mean, he's still playing in Memphis, which I don't know if you knew this, but before the season, I picked Memphis as a surprise playoff team. So I've gotten roasted for
Casey's
that.
He's gotten a lot of good picks in life of this podcast.
I mean, if they had been, though, that would have you would have looked like a
I would have. Oh,
like,
and
he really knows his basketball.
For the first week of the season when they were up there, man, it was Conley and Gasol, they were going. And, you know, I do like to think that a little bit of Memphis is still in the playoffs because Mark Gasol is making it happen up north.
And it will forever be weird to see him in any other jersey.
So weird. So
weird. We talked about this last time, but you called the Bucks Celtics series very well.
So. Yes, I did. That one, oh man, I had that one. my last couple of predictions have been no good.
Speaking of my prediction, last episode, the new Lakers coach,
Frankie Vogel.
I called it at the end of the podcast, just off the top of my head. I was like, he seems like the kind of guy they would get.
Son of a gun.
I didn't realize that John Beilein was available from Michigan.
Yeah, that's wild. I mean, in NBA news, we've got some new head coaches. Frank Vogel was our new Lakers head coach with Jason Kidd as the coach in waiting, lady in waiting. I don't know how to describe
lady
that.
Lady in waiting is the official.
People are acting like so sure that he's going to take it over in 2 years, but Jason Kidd can very easily fuck up his relationship with the Lakers in 2 years and not get hired. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, or get hired away to go coach somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah,
right. Sure. Also, I mean, someone else could make a worse mistake than the Lakers have been making for the last 6 years.
Vogel, it's amazing to me the number of people I've been complaining the last week of how stupid Lakers fans are. I'm a Lakers fan. The idea that they think that Ty Lue was like a order of magnitude better coach than Frank Vogel.
That's insane.
They're both okay.
They're both fine. They're both just coaches.
But they were just like, oh, well, I can't believe we missed out on Ty Lue. It's like, what are you talking about?
Well, I mean, we had Ty Lue and we let him go. Once he retired from being a Laker.
Yeah.
It's almost like Frank Vogel stepped over Ty Lue.
Ooh.
But anyway, Frank Vogel's fine. He's a pretty defensive-minded coach. I was looking at his Pacers teams were very good defensively.
Yeah. His Magic teams were bad. But I think that's just because the magic.
Yeah.
Well, also, like, were they tanking during this period?
Yeah, sort of.
Can you really evaluate coaches when they're tanking?
Yeah, he didn't have like the kind of roster that he had in Indiana or that he'll have in LA.
No, I mean, I guess we're hoping he's going to have a good roster
yeah.
in LA.
Yeah. I was reading some guy's coaching breakdown, and his pick was Stan Van Gundy, and I didn't even realize that like he was available.
Oh.
They should have asked, I think.
They should have interviewed Stan Van Gundy to yeah. see if we could get Dwight Howard back on the Lakers for one more year.
I would have liked Stan Van Gundy. So let me think about who the best Bulls players are right now. Is it Lauri Markkanen?
Yeah, I would say so.
And then who are their like vets that they're like?
Vets are a rough category. They have Robin Lopez.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Who has been big on TV recently.
Yeah, he's
have you guys seen him?
The only time I've seen a Bulls player in a playoff situation was he was in a commercial
yes.
this weekend even.
He is the NBA branded marketing, the player that Godzilla King of the Monsters has chosen to like co-brand with when they do NBA ads. You know how like How to Train Your Dragon 2 chose Jason Tatum to have a dragon that he did a press conference with?
Uh-huh.
And how the Equalizer 2 chose a lot of different NBA players to come in for the role of Denzel.
Oh.
Right? You know, all of these ads are very fun around playoff times. All the movies that come out in April to June.
Is this stuff they just shoot at All-Star Weekend and they set up a room and they're like, come in and do this.
Yeah, 100%. By the
way, I saw a trailer for King of the Monsters and it looks good.
It does look good, but also just like these monsters fuck with our weather so much. There's not a single shot of like the sun.
Yeah.
And I think I feel like that might just be a plot point of the movie.
Maybe. Movie. I mean, 95% of scientists probably think it's the monsters, but if I 5% don't agree.
Maybe we're the monsters, you guys.
Yeah. I thought the first Godzilla was pretty good, the Bryan Cranston one.
Oh.
Yeah,
I didn't see it.
Oh, it's actually very funny the way Godzilla appears in that movie because he's like old. He's like an old Russian lady.
Ooh.
He's like very tired the whole time and he's like, all right, I guess I'll help you guys. His body language is very like jaded.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's amusing in that sense.
The only Godzilla I've watched recently is the first of the three anime Godzilla movies on Netflix.
I did not even know those were on there.
It's pretty good, and it's also kind of cool looking. It's got a cool, like,
that's like
kind of cel-shaded, half, like, 3D anime style.
I was going to say, weird animated, the Batman, like, Japan one.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I watched Batman.
Oh, that one's very enjoyable.
Yeah, it's got
so
like
strange.
The craziest looking Joker ever.
Is that the Joker turns into like a big, is it Joker that turns into a big machine?
All of them turn into
a big machine. All of them do.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's fun.
They've all got their own part of feudal Japan that they're holding over. And really, the biggest mistake was that they didn't make a Batman Japan Dynasty Warriors game.
Ooh,
like that's the hit, right? Dynasty Warriors, huge feudal Japan, kind of like this is the real shit. Actually, Dynasty Warriors is China, but they have a samurai
same
warriors.
Same shit.
They
all look the same.
Okay, hang on.
Hey, so since the Bulls are not in the playoffs, do you have any? How are you feeling about who's left and like who do you root for or root against?
I mean, we're down to mostly teams that I like. I still like the Warriors. I know. Everybody,
I like
it's like
we,
a lot
we
of people.
Like the
yeah, well, I feel like maybe it's outside of like California, people are like, oh, especially because I don't love Kevin Durant, but like they're still a fun team to watch.
Oh yeah,
and like yeah, so I like them. I mean, obviously the Bucks and the Raptors, either of them in the finals will be cool, just because it's been so long since we've seen.
I guarantee you, one of those two teams is going to be in
that's
the finals.
That's all I ask for.
Well, it's like the thing I saw today that Del Curry will definitely be seeing his son play in the finals. Again, for the fifth year in a row or whatever.
Yeah, it's wild.
I
can't believe that Steph is guaranteed to make it.
I mean, yeah, they probably just meant Steph.
Yeah. He's like, I want to say, I meant my son Steph.
Yes. Yeah, because also, like, even if Portland got in, there's a chance, it'd be funny if, like, Seth never hit the court.
He never gets that high.
Yeah. Just like,
man, if the Warriors had lost to the Rockets, then Doc Rivers could have seen his son play in the finals, guaranteed.
Mm.
Whether it was Austin Rivers or Seth Curry.
Is that his son also?
It's his son-in-law.
Oh, you know, I was looking at, by the way, Seth Curry has gotten Del Curry's looks, and that's not a good thing.
He's just got that that face that's a little rounder.
He's got a bulbous nose. I said bulbous with the proper pronunciation.
Bulbous.
Actually, we have achieved...
Hot look takes on the podcast.
We've achieved a miraculous thing, which is that I don't care who wins now.
Wow.
The four teams that are left, I think they're all fine.
Oh my gosh. This is the most zen Chris has ever been in the playoffs.
Well, I'm very happy because we had a good weekend for like the schadenfreude of the teams I hate. I despise the Rockets.
Oh, yeah.
They went down in flames.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You despise the Celtics. And they are already the Hindenburg
and
collapsed.
I prefer the Raptors over the Sixers.
Okay. I think the Sixers were the last team that I was like, felt like emotionally like invested in.
Yeah.
I think. And after them, it's like, oh, I just like all these teams.
In a positive or negative way?
Positive. Because I'm like a big Jimmy Butler fan.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
still carrying over. And I like their young guys and stuff. So yeah. I feel like that was the team. But I never really thought like, oh, they're going to be like, in the finals, you know, I was surprised it went as far as it did.
Yeah. I mean,
you had picked them to win.
I picked them to win. So here's the thing. At the beginning of the series, I picked the Raptors. As the series played out, I thought the Sixers were the better team, like overall, and I picked them in game seven. And so what can I say? I am nothing if not somebody who doesn't know how to stick to a pick and is bad at picking things.
I mean, it was a close game.
Game seven was an incredible ending. I happened to be watching the very end of that live. I couldn't believe what happened.
It was so nuts.
Kawhi got that last shot. Especially because of how long it took to go into the basket.
Yeah.
That was crazy. So then I showed it to my husband, Eric. I was like, oh, you got to see this thing, right? And so I bring up the game on YouTube TV to show him, and I'm sort of skipping through the fourth quarter to get to the last part. And occasionally I'll be like, well, let's watch this like 6 minute chunk. And after all, he was like, are these the top tier professional teams? Because they missed so many shots.
It was an ugly offensive
like,
game.
He was
sure.
just like, are these? And then he was like, is this because the defenses are good? And I was like, not really. Like they weren't taking terrible shots. And then at the end, he was just kind of like, oh, cool. So that shot went in. I was like, all right, well.
the gravity
of
the situation.
It was anticlimactic because he had seen them be... I mean, there was a lot of bad offense in that game.
Yeah.
Yes. And I mean, for the last 5 minutes, the Sixers really were not playing well. And they were just so tired.
They were playing like... You could see, I felt like, the difference of like a guy like Jimmy Butler versus like the way like their younger guys were playing and their experience, and like suddenly it was like we just got to shoot whatever we can get or whatever, and there was no like patience to it.
Yeah,
like that's a big like set deciding factor when
absolutely.
It comes down to the playoffs.
Although I will argue too much patience because they had like 3 24-second.
Oh yeah, it felt like 3 possessions in a row almost. Yeah, it was like are they aware there's
that's
a shot clock?
Insane
or?
To me. Yeah. Like especially I was very shocked that like Redick got to touch the ball like 2 or 3 times on some of those possessions and like, just jack it up. Like,
shoot,
what are you
ball.
Doing? Like, they did a lot of like, Embiid would be at the 3-point line, make a move, and then like with 2 seconds on the clock, pass it off to someone.
Yeah, it was like,
what
like
are you
a
doing?
Pump fake, and then a dribble and a pass, and then they were out of time.
I was just so bummed that Ben Simmons got hurt and didn't get to play the last 5 minutes of the game.
Oh, are you basing that on the stat line? Or
I mean... You know, I'm just basing it on the fact that we didn't see Ben Simmons in the last 5 minutes of the game.
I think you could. He only how many shots do you think he took in that game?
I'm going to guess Ben Simmons took 6 shots.
I would say like I'll say 8.
He took 5 shots.
5. Wow.
You cannot have that happen.
No, yeah. I mean
he took the same number of shots as he had turnovers. His shots to turnover ratio.
Or just
that I use.
Wait, Chris. Or did he just have 10 turnovers? Because every shot of his was a turnover.
No, he made 4 out of the 5.
Wow. Man, if you just...
I feel like that's somebody protecting his own reputation too much or something.
Ooh.
You want him to have a little bit of like Westbrook, like shoot 15 times just to see. I mean, he's a great offensive weapon.
You want him to shoot his shots. You want him to get his shots. Because here's the thing. Westbrook will take a shot from anywhere on the court.
Yeah.
Right? This year, he was a little bit better about not jacking up random threes. But Ben Simmons will only take shots that he feels comfortable that he can make. And if he is being pressured to not be able to get there, which I think that was probably what they were trying to do in Toronto. They were trying to make it so that he wasn't able to get those shots he was comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to work a little harder to get there and then work in the offense. But I think he just like... Both he and from Toronto's end, I think he and Siakam kind of shied away from the challenge of this game 7.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the other you know, more veteran players on both teams.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a veteran like Kyle Lowry came through.
Okay, Kyle Lowry had some really clutch offensive rebounds.
Yes, yeah, he had some good defensive stuff at the end.
Kyle Lowry gave everybody a water bottle in the timeout.
Just to catch you up, a couple weeks ago I watched Danny Green's Green Room, which is the YouTube channel that Danny Green has, and they interviewed Kyle Lowry. And in the interview, Kyle Lowry was like, "Oh, you know," they were all like, "You know, I'm not a practice player." And Nick Nurse had Kawhi and Danny Green, like the first week they got on the team, had them have a private meeting with Kyle Lowry to like say, like, can you practice hard and practice? And I mean, his stat lines in the series show that he's
not as good as he used to be. And maybe
but he was good. Like, he was decent in the regular season. He was good last year.
Yeah.
You know,
anyway, that's what kind of made it hard for me to root for the Raptors, because it's like, I don't want them to go into a series where it's like, now, like, I feel like Kyle Lowry is just going to be like exploited, like all his weaknesses. Because now we've seen him have this series where he didn't play well, and Kawhi like pulled it out for them at the end. But against the Bucks,
Kawhi will be lucky to neutralize Giannis essentially in the stat line. And then who else is? It's like, can Siakam make up for Middleton or something?
Yeah, and then can Mark Gasol play a factor while he's like not in the paint, because the Bucks play it an offense where their center stays at half court and shoots threes from Splash Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be so interesting to see these two teams match up. I think mostly because that Kyle Lowry Eric Bledsoe battle is going to be so key, and Bledsoe's had a good playoffs.
Yeah.
And Kyle Lowry has had a bad playoffs.
I can see Eric Bledsoe being dumb and, into like a, like, oh, I've got to one up this dude battle when you have like the best player in the league on your team.
Yeah.
It's like, I got to take this shot.
Yeah. So
do not like Eric Bledsoe.
I think that I think that's the key matchup besides the Kawhi Giannis matchup, which, like, to be fair, I don't know if that's like a matchup
between the two of them.
Yeah, because it's just kind of like star versus star.
Yeah, they're not really. I mean, we'll have to see how Toronto schemes for this, but I don't see Kawhi being the guy to just like plug Giannis all the time. So
no,
I mean, he'll definitely have some possessions, but I would say it'll be about less than 50% would be my guess. But I think maybe if they want to win, they might have to go more than 50%.
How tall is Siakam?
Siakam is, I think he's 6'8 or 6'9.
They can try throwing him on him for a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's about strength and height. Like, you know, you kind of need to put a center on him or a power forward because he's just so big and so quick.
Right, but you can't put Gasol on
him. You certainly cannot put Gasol on him. That's a recipe for a sweep.
Maybe they like start or bring in Ibaka early.
Yeah. I want to see, like, because in game one, I think it's going to be very important for both of these teams to try to, like, get their basketball, like, set, like, how they play basketball.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, Kawhi's going to be guarded by, you know, bodies. I mean, the Bucks are really good at, like, double teaming and recovering. And so I'm really, really interested to see what Kawhi can do to kind of like deal with being the focal point in the series against a better defensive team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cause like the Sixers have really good individual defensive players, like Embiid and Butler, and Simmons can be good. I mean, Tobias Harris is kind of a tire fire, and you hide Redick, but I don't think as a team they were as sharp defensively as I think the Bucks will be.
Definitely, I mean, not in that last game.
No.
Who do you think guarded Kawhi the most? I wish I could look this up. I'm sure on NBA stats there's somewhere I could look this
up. It's got to be Butler who guarded him the most in the last.
Yeah, and I would say series. Butler's probably a bit better defender than anyone on the Bucks individually. Certainly better than Middleton.
I mean, I don't know if he's better than Giannis. Might be.
But
the
I mean, I guess I didn't. I guess I didn't think they would put Giannis on him.
I don't think so either. But
I'm talking about like between Mirotić, Lopez, Middleton. I mean, I can even see them throwing Bledsoe on him sometimes.
Yeah.
Because he's pretty strong. He's,
I mean, if I had a dollar for every time I've seen Mirotić blow it on defense, yeah. I'd be a millionaire.
Yeah, so. we got some former Bulls.
I mean, we throw Pat Connaughton on it.
Pat Connaughton, the great white hope from Boston.
As far as guarding Giannis, you know who'd be great on the Raptors to do that? Jeremy Lin.
Jeremy Lin.
Get him on the court.
Get him on the court. He's definitely going to play. I mean, I did wear my Jeremy Lin jersey to watch the game yesterday.
I mean, did he get any minutes in the series? He got didn't. 8 total minutes in the series. By the way, he can do better. He can be like Fred Van Vliet and go shoot 0 for 5.
Oh, minutes. Yeah. Take that, Fred Van Vliet. We took you down a peg.
I'm
my
just
dude.
Saying, like, Jeremy Lin can be that productive.
Yeah.
4 points, 0 rebounds, 1 rebound, 0 assists. He can do that.
I mean, that's almost a million. You know, you get that minutes and O's across the entire scoreboard.
Yeah, that's what the people go for. So I have a feeling that you still feel like the Bucks are going to kind of take this.
Yeah. I mean, if we're going into our official rule of threes predictions, I want to say it first. My prediction is Bucks in 6.
I'll go Bucks in 7. I was going to say 5.
All right.
I'll go Bucks in 7.
We need a prediction from our guest.
I'm going to say Bucks in 6.
Bucks in 6. Yeah, I like it. Okay, so we don't believe in the Raptors.
I believe in them to almost get there.
Yeah. I mean, this is good. They did good.
They did good. I guess the pressing question is, if the Raptors are eliminated in the Eastern Conference Finals, is that enough for Kawhi Leonard to stay? And I'm talking, we're connected. We know Kawhi's people. We talk to Kawhi on the daily. We have all the info that he's got. What are we hearing from Kawhi?
I mean, so it's funny is like after the end of that series, I was like, oh, he should stay because like the support from the fan base and that feeling of hitting that shot. But then there's a whole nother series to play. And if they get whooped in 5 or 6 games, he can be like, great, we won that second round series with that one shot. But he may not have that same feel. I would say he should probably stay. Steven Jackson today on Cowherd made a point of if you play in Toronto, you get taxed twice for your money. So, of course, the very Steven Jackson point to bring up. He was just like, you know, don't play there because you lose money. But by that reasoning, then Kawhi should have stayed in San Antonio.
Where there was no state income tax.
Yeah. I would say he should stay. Like, I was almost always kind of feel like people should stay, except when Dwight Howard was on the Lakers. And I was like,
go. Kyle, do you think that Kawhi Leonard is going to stay?
I mean, I want him to stay.
Yeah.
And I think, like, we could see, like, let's say they go into this series and Kyle Lowry is, like, terrible.
Yeah.
That could be, like, you know, now he's just, does he feel like he's the only reliable player on this team now? Like, you know, or does Kyle Lowry step up and they, like, build the kind of, like, chemistry that they need in at this point in the playoffs and he stays? But, I mean, I feel like, If you're not happy getting to the conference finals, like your first year with the team, then I don't know what to tell you. So I think you should stay, and I hope he stays. But
I also think he should. I think all players, if they care about their like reputation, should stay in the East.
Yeah,
because you just go deeper in the playoffs.
Yeah,
you know, I don't think LeBron's Laker team is significantly worse than his Cavaliers team, and one team he went to the finals, and one team he didn't even get in.
Yeah,
so like. Stay in the East.
I want him to stay in Toronto because I want Clippers games to stay cheap.
Uh-huh.
Like, if he signs with the Clippers, then those tickets are going to be more expensive, and I'm not going to be able to go to as many Clippers games as I want to go to.
True, but the Clippers tickets will stay very cheap if he goes to the Lakers.
Yeah!
Probably not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, my only care in this situation is just that those Clippers stay cheap, baby. It's the only thing I want.
Let's talk about the...
First, before we do this, we do have to say
goodbye. Philadelphia
76ers.
Yeah. Am I saying what I will miss or won't miss?
Yeah, let's say what you're going to miss about the Philadelphia 76ers.
You say your part first.
Okay, all right. What I'm not going to miss about the Philadelphia 76ers is TJ McConnell. All right, TJ McConnell can go suck an egg. I don't give a shit about TJ McConnell, and I want him to, you know, go somewhere else to play basketball that is in Siberia. I don't care. Get the fuck out of here, TJ McConnell. I truly, like, yeah, what a little shithead.
Also a player that should be on the Celtics.
Yes.
We've talked about Pat Connaughton being the perfect Celtics player.
I mean, he went to Notre Dame.
TJ McConnell, where did he go? I bet he's Irish.
He's probably
from up there.
No.
Him and Pat Connaughton probably like watch Red Sox games and then like yell at minorities.
He probably went to St. John's.
For, like, Boston
College. I don't know. Where did TJ McConnell go to fucking college? Iowa? Some shit like that.
Duquesne. He's from Bridgeville, Pennsylvania. Oh, Duquesne, and then Arizona.
Oh.
Weird. He was in college for 5 years.
Ooh, gross. And they drafted. Oh, man. What a terrible draft.
Classic 50-year draft.
Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, he was either undrafted or a second rounder. So, you know, you could throw those picks however you want. But, yeah. Kyle, do you have anything that you will or will not miss about the Philadelphia 76ers?
I mean, I love, like, Embiid's, like, social media antics and stuff. Just have,
so
like,
good.
In the interview he did on Sunday that they showed where he was, like, talking shit on Barkley and stuff. Like, that's,
yes.
I just love that stuff. Like, and, like, even just, like, the way he lost was, like, he was, like, it was entertaining. Like, I just like that kind of, like, vibe from the whole team. But mostly it comes from, like, him, I feel like.
I will say that I will and won't miss that. Because I, the thing I enjoy the most about Embiid's social media presence is when he loses. So, like, I find it enjoyable. Anybody that trash talks when they, I like it when they back it up and when they don't back it up.
So you just really like trash talk.
I do like trash talk in general.
We've isolated the.
But there's something about it that tends towards I like seeing people that trash talk get their comeuppance.
It's so good. Yeah. That's why I only trash talk at things I know I'm going to lose at. If I'm ever like very confidently going to win at something, I don't like to trash talk.
Well,
I don't
also,
like to be in that position.
It's good. It's better to trash talk in like the middle of a game when the result is still up in the air. That's more impressive than doing it just after you win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for example, this is probably, we'll get to it later, but this is probably why I'm out of the four teams left. I'm the least a fan of the Trailblazers.
Ooh.
Because I didn't realize how much they trash talk.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of wanting to see them lose now.
Ooh.
I think you'll get to see that.
Yeah, I probably will get to see that. So I guess in a way it's admirable because they're up against a big challenge and they probably like see themselves as having to talk themselves up to like get into it. But like Embiid, I think like I really wanted the Embiid Whiteside like battles to be something and they just weren't like because Whiteside never really showed up for their games.
Yeah.
And I feel like
Hassan Whiteside benched 10-minute a game Miami Heat player.
And also there's talk between him and Drummond.
Yes, those
and
were
those
fun.
Don't always end up being like I want him to have a rival.
Yeah.
So
Drummond is that guy who like you clown on him and he like laughs. Yeah, man. Yeah. So the trash talk between them is not good because Drummond just literally just doesn't like Embiid and Embiid looks past him.
Right.
Drummond for me is just forever just going to be a guy who dated a Disney Channel star. Like that's how serious I can take him is that like he watched, I don't know, Wizards of Waverly Place and was like, damn, that's what I'm talking about.
Now, the thing I will say that kind of hurts Embiid is that he didn't really go out playing like great games. Like he didn't, you didn't. For his,
are you sure the thing that hurts Embiid isn't just his butthole from all the diarrhea that he had? That's the thing that hurts Embiid a lot.
I mean, every single game there was a different explanation of why he wasn't playing as well as he should. And like Steph's finger is like dislocated. You know, like I mean, the fact that he was so emotional after the end of the game almost indicated to me that maybe he was kind of like frozen up during the game. He was very passive during that game.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like the thing of like, man, he really like went after every single play with 100% motor and then he came up short and then he was emotional. It was more just like, oh, I kind of like sleptwalked through this game.
Yeah.
And I lost and now I'm sad. Like that didn't read super well to me.
Yeah. I mean the beginning of that game was tough and I mean, there were stretches of that game where it was just like both of these teams are so tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? So it's tough for them to be at that 100%.
Well, they should have taken a nap like mid-quarter.
It's definitely the way to go. I mean, take all your starters out, get him a little bit of sleep, 1 hour of sleep, and you just pop right back up and you're ready to go. Yeah.
But he didn't have a great series.
No, he had two or three good games, one great game, and then like the rest were bad games.
Did he have good games? He had one great game. He scored 33 points in game three, it looks like.
Yeah.
He scored 21 in the last game, and he didn't score over 17 the rest of the series.
Okay, so he had one great game.
By his standards, that's not good.
Yeah. One fine game, and then five bad games. Wow. Well, they didn't deserve to win. Get them the fuck out of here.
We should also say goodbye to some other teams.
There was another game seven that was slightly less climactic.
Yes.
But still.
Kind of also a slog.
Yeah, a little bit of a slog. Basically after the quadruple overtime game, that series became...
They were just like...
A little sloggy.
Yeah. Get this over with.
But the really nice thing is that, you know who was not slogging? Your favorite podcaster in the world, CJ McCollum.
Yeah,
we have inter-podcast beef with CJ McCollum because
it's not very, I just
Chris
think
doesn't like his podcast.
So boring.
Yeah. Boring.
The Woj pod is also extremely boring.
I listened to that and it is extremely boring. And
for someone who has so much access to people, you're just like, oh my god.
It's like finding out like the biggest budget in the world was for like a boring like art house movie or something. You're like, why did this?
Yeah. But if the art house movie was bad.
Yeah, terrible.
Lord knows that I love my like very quiet art house movies. A little before midnight, after sunrise.
Oh, I love those. Yeah, after sunrise is my favorite entry in the
after sunrise. During fucking during sunrise.
Is that midday?
We're only gonna meet during sunrise.
And then what are the actual titles of those three movies?
Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, and Before Midnight.
Yeah. Got it. Okay, they're all befores. There's no after?
There's no after.
The after is just a joke and a Funny or Die sketch? Damn it.
Yeah, and then there's also going to be Before Brunch.
Yes.
After Dusk.
Ooh. From Dusk
Yeah, McCollum
brunch.
Had a great game. He pretty much had to because Lillard did not have a great series.
No,
in general.
After being the guy
in
that five-game Oklahoma City series, Damian Lillard looked at his watch and was like, it's definitely not Dame time yet.
Yeah.
It is Dame time later, and we'll see if he finds
a
way.
He labeled himself the guy, too. He was putting it out there like after that OKC series that like, you know, he's been overlooked and all this stuff, and then he did not show up like you would expect.
Yeah. I don't know if we talked. I think we did talk about like what happens to the Trailblazers if they don't go far this season. Like, you know, how much longer do you go with these two guys? But I mean, they've probably made it far enough, even if they come up short against the Warriors, to sort of like continue the experiment one more year.
And
Nurkic will be healthy.
Dame Lillard, he believes in the system. Got a lot of press this week for believing in the system, right? You know, no matter what, like, we keep on keeping on. We believe in the system. And it's like, all right, so your system is just like, you play okay basketball, and then luckily both the Rockets and the Warriors end up on the same side of the bracket, and you're in the finals.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they kind of are getting this far because of the way the seeding worked out.
Yeah, and that was all because of Denver. Denver did that.
Oh,
because they lost a specific game to somebody that was like, okay, this is the game that makes it so that this happens.
It was to Portland. Yeah.
Wow. So they really wish they could have taken that one back.
The interesting thing about both game sevens is that for, I would say, 80% of both of the game sevens, it kind of felt like, is one of these teams going to like take this game?
Well, so Denver was up big, and Portland made a real big comeback.
But they were up in the first half, right?
Up in the first half. I mean, it was pretty close at halftime. But, you know, I mean, you just – that the team that makes that, like, run to come back has so much momentum in a game, right? And it's so hard to, like, claw back at that, especially when, you know, you're a little banged up, and, like, lots of people got banged up in this game. Yeah. Rodney Hood got hurt, couldn't come back. I feel like – who was it on Denver that got hurt and had to like go out for a bit? Was it Craig or was it Barton or was it one of those like three wings that they have that all seem interchangeable to me?
I mean, you know, it's also tough to like win the game when you have Jamal Murray as your point guard.
Ooh.
Again, stinker of a game.
Stinker. Absolute stinker of a game. Jamal Murray, enemy of the cast, enemy of the pod.
He's been an enemy since he clowned on Lonzo.
Yes, we're very protective.
He's also not a good player. Like he should not be a point guard, as I've said many times.
Yes.
I think he's a decent player in general. Like if you were at a pickup game.
Yeah, he'd be pretty great as a pickup.
Right. Yeah, if he was playing pickup and I was like the team captain and I was picking teams, I would probably pick my friend Bassam over him, but then I'd pick Jamal Murray.
Yeah. But the thing is the Nuggets, you know, a lot of the teams that got eliminated this weekend, actually don't think should change too much. Like, I think that they're fine. Like, the Nuggets will be fine next year.
Yeah.
They have these guys. I mean,
they can't do anything else. They've got no cap room.
Michael Porter Jr.
MPJ. Maybe his back exists, and he'll be able to play next year.
Yeah. But they're not in bad shape for next year.
No. No, they are not.
And they have Jokic, who's great.
Who's so good. Yeah. Who's so good. And it's been such a pleasure and a joy watching him play in these playoffs.
And he pretty much came to play every game that series.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we had Gary Harris, who we put an APB out for Gary Harris, and no one has found him, which is weird.
Yeah, he's had a tough
year. He and Ben Simmons, it was like, what is going on with
these two guys? I don't know with Gary Harris how much of it was he was injured for quite a while, like he was out for a chunk.
Yeah.
But he did not ever seem to like get back to where people thought he should be.
Yeah, because this is like year four or whatever for him, right? It might be year three or year four for him. And, you know, I could see a year two little downward slump. But this year he should have been.
This was year five.
Year five. Oof. Yeah, this is not the year five you want to have.
I mean, last year he averaged 17 points a game, and this year he averaged 12. That's not the direction you want the game to go.
And you know, for you stat heads out there, his advanced, like his per 36 was also down by a similar amount.
Oh, really?
It wasn't. Yeah. I mean, it's not just that he played less minutes. He was less productive in his minutes.
For you stat heads out there, 17 points is more than 12.
Very technically. I got a good stats. I got good stats in the brain.
Yeah.
I may not be able to pick them worth a damn, but I can definitely read you a number.
Did you watch either of the Game 7s?
Yeah, I watched them both. Obviously the Raptors one was a lot more exciting at the end. The last, like, 2 minutes were more exciting. But the Denver game, it was like, I've never been, like, sold on the Nuggets, like, this year. Like, I was never, like, they're going to be, you know, in the conference final. I was, like, the seeding and everything, I didn't really buy it. There's something about it, I don't know. But I think it came through in this game because they were up by, like, 15, and they didn't have that, like, feeling of, like, they're putting them away. Like, it was like, you know, they weren't ready to, like, keep pushing them down. They were, like, kind of just like, oh, cool, we're up 15. Like, now we're just kind of, like, laying back. You know, it was like Portland started with, like, 0 for 10 from the three-point line or something like that. It's
nobody could shoot worth a fucking damn.
Yeah, it's like, if you're up 15, like, you should be extending that lead. Yeah. Yeah. It just felt like they just didn't have that, like, okay, let's push this further than this. It was like, when they were up, they were just like, we're good, guys, we got it. And that was kind of like...
Yeah, because they're like, well, once you're up 15, you win the game, right?
Yeah.
They were like, that's how it works.
And then it was like Portland just whittling away at that, and they were just kind of like, oh, now we're almost losing, guys, and then it's too late.
And then they're like, oh, no, the game's over.
The game's over, yeah.
Oh, well.
CJ McCollum scored another elbow jumper.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It was interesting. Like, over the weekend, we saw sort of a, because of the McCollum stuff, a whole lot of discussion about, like, mid-range jumpers being the thing, because LeBron tweeted about it.
Yeah, I saw that.
And he tweeted for his Northeast Ohio guy.
Uh-huh.
it's so interesting because I saw somebody.
Kirk Goldsberry was very upset.
I did. I mean, because I follow Kirk, because I really like Kirk. I like reading his stuff. I like looking at his hexagons. Ugh, fucking hexagons are awesome.
Yeah.
That being said, pre-order Sprawl Ball on I guess order it regularly now because it's out.
Is this a Hex game?
No.
Hex map?
No, it's his book about basketball.
Oh.
Get those plugs in, baby. LeBron would be the first person to tell you that contested two with an open three-point shooter is a place you pass. Mm-hmm. That's a LeBron play. LeBron made that play popular in like basketball culture. He was the guy who was like, oh, yeah, you pass the ball. I'll make the right play every time. He said that.
Right.
So for him to be like, looks like the jumper isn't dead. It's like, LeBron, you haven't really been a jumper guy for, I don't know, 10 years now. You've been a guy who's been a drive and kick or take that weird long three that make 30% of the time.
Well, it's interesting because the McCollum plays in that fourth quarter were pretty much hero ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he told the coach, like, flatten it out. Let me ISO. It's going to be Hero Ball. And I remember
dunk on it was Will Barton on or Torrey Craig. He dunked Torrey on somebody. He dunked Torrey on Torrey Craig on, like, Twitter. Somebody was like, at least it was good defense, and then he was like, nah.
Yeah, he was like,
get the shit out of here.
Yeah, something like that. So when analytics became a thing, there was a big movement, and it was a lot of it was anti Kobe. About you shouldn't ISO, even in the end, you shouldn't do Hero Ball because you should find the best shot. This was when Henry Abbott from True Hoop was saying that Kevin Martin was the best shooting guard in the league or something.
And this is specifically exactly why James Harden is on...
What?
The Rockets.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
oh, this was Kevin Ball. Martin, like... Rockets era?
I mean, it was Kevin Martin's...
Or like Timberwolves?
It was, but it's the beginning of Maury Ball, for Kings sure. era. But it was like, that's why Sam Presti was like, I got to get that. I got to get my hands on that Kevin Martin. He's the guy. No, I...
But I mean, there were articles on ESPN constantly about, like, we've run the numbers and the best clutch shooter in the league is Kevin Martin. Famously on a Ryan Russillo podcast, Henry Abbott was like... If it's the last shot in the fourth quarter, I would take Kevin Martin over Kobe Bryant. And Ryan Russillo was like, what are you talking about? And then I remember Jeff Van Gundy saying, I think in an interview somewhere, but basically saying, like, the problem with the numbers is that in late game situations, you can't necessarily run your offense again because you can't guarantee that the offensive flow doesn't create a turnover. Yeah. So these McCollum plays at the end of this game, the one thing they know they can get is a shot. Like, they might not go in, but he's going to, like, do his little chicken wing push off and get a shot. And so it's more appealing to the coach. It's almost like the coach can't be fired for that, really.
Yeah. And, look in the Sixers game, right? They were not able to guarantee shots because they were not putting them up within 24 seconds.
Now, as a Jimmy Butler fan, what was up with Jimmy Butler? It felt like he wasn't too as ball dominant as I would have liked him to be at the end of that game.
I was surprised by that. I don't know. I've seen so many games that weren't as important as this where he's like, give me the ball. I want the ball every possession. Like, and he had times when he was holding the ball when the shot clock ran out.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's never your problem.
What if we just
found
out like that they had like put masking tape over the shot clock?
That's what it felt like. Sometimes I was like, there's no urgency. Do they know it's running right now? Like, what's going on?
And there's two shot clocks. You can look at either end of the court and see one.
Yeah. Not in Toronto. In Canada, they actually convert it to kiloseconds. Oh. So it's different.
Right, and the water goes down the drain
the opposite way. Yes, yeah. It's the line. It's the border.
So wait, have we said goodbye to the Nuggets?
No, we are going to say goodbye to the Nuggets right now. I said what I would not miss. So I will say what I will miss about the Nuggets. I think I'm going to miss every time Jamal Murray has a good game, giggling to myself about how mad Chris is.
Doesn't happen that often.
It doesn't happen often, but I'm going to miss it because it's not going to happen anymore this season. I kind of like Mike Malone.
Uh-huh.
Right? I think he's a good coach, and I think he's a good quote, too, so I'm going to miss him. That's my genuine one, not my joke one.
Was that what you would or wouldn't miss?
Would miss.
By the way, I think I'm kind of done with Jamal Murray because he's not good enough to care about.
Yes, like, for next he's season. Not going to live rent free in your head. He's out of there.
I mean, right? I don't know anybody that feels very strongly about Jamal Murray at all.
Oh no, a lot of Lakers fans do. If you go to our Lakers on subreddit,
don't
subreddit.
Ever go to our Lakers.
I try not to.
Please do not ever. Yeah, I would say not.
How is r/Bulls?
It's sad.
Don't.
Right now. Oh, really?
I mean, it was like years of like blaming like front office, and now it's kind of just now it's kind of just morphed into. To like, man, we kind of suck. Like,
well, at least they fired Garpax.
Yeah, that worked.
Yeah. And they got that coach. They locked that coach down.
No, yeah. they fired Jim Boylan. They fired Garpax. And Michael Jordan's coming back.
Yeah.
And Chicago's a floating city now.
Yeah. Derrick Rose was never injured.
No, never, not once.
Okay,
so Kyle, we'll give you the choice. Either what are you going to miss or not miss about the Nuggets?
I just generally won't miss. The Nuggets, I just don't find them to be like a fun team to watch for the most part. Like, maybe I don't like these same players.
Maybe you don't like Jokic.
He's like the only one that I do like. Like, he is an interesting player, but like the rest of their game just to me is just kind of like not exciting. And not in the way people would say that about, like, you know, people who say that about the Spurs and stuff. But like, the Spurs, there's a difference when you're like really good.
Like, yeah.
I never felt like the Nuggets were like quite with their record.
Yeah.
Actually, I wonder what their Pythagorean wins is like.
Ooh, I mean, they had a good plus minus.
I like Jokic because it seems like it's like one of the players' dad has joined the game, and he's like really good at basketball, but he's old.
Yeah,
but he's like still slipping passes through that you're like, how did he get pass there?
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten buckets from that dad before in a pickup game, and it is. As demoralizing as you could imagine.
Yeah.
That dad has wrecked me.
He actually kind of reminds me of Arvydas Sabonis.
Ooh.
Because when he joined the league, his career was like half over at that point.
Yeah, he came in on a mid-level at 35.
He would do these like bowling ball passes, and like they were really good, and you're just like, what is he doing out there?
It was weird. He'd like get his hand dry on the side of the court, and then he'd take the ball, and he'd do one of those spins, and he'd spin around. And the ball would just like, you'd have to make sure it didn't hit the wrong part of the oil streak.
Yeah. And then he would mark his score down.
Yeah. Which it was wild.
Why
we got scorekeepers. Okay. You don't have to do this. This isn't Russia.
I'll tell you one thing I won't miss from the Denver Nuggets is Isaiah Thomas on the bench.
So sad.
Yeah, it's weird. I'm still not used to that.
Yeah. Like, I don't even know. What does he do now? Like, where does he go from this
China
point?
Right?
Because like, his contract's over, right?
Oh, yeah. That was a 1 year, maybe a team option, but it was nothing big. I mean, there's nothing. Oh, I'm so sad for him because he just like, he got hurt and he played too long on it. It hurt it even more. Yeah. And then he's just dead as an NBA player.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's kind of like come up from the bottom once, you know, as the 60th pick. And now he's got to do it again or give up. And I think that like, he's not going to get that chance to like be the guy again.
Well, also because he didn't show himself to be like a great teammate.
Yeah,
you know? He definitely hurt himself.
He's not like a glue guy.
Yeah, very, very much. The opposite of that.
They do shoot horses and turn them into glue,
so he could be a glue guy in that sense.
Like, I feel bad saying that. That's like not a good analogy.
Why would you feel bad about somebody being shot because they don't play basketball well? That seems like a
good, point. Yeah, good point. Good point.
As long as it's a good hot take, I think it's fine.
Okay, all right. If it's a hot take, it's a hot take.
Yeah.
So that means that we got Blazers Warriors in the Western Conference Finals.
By the way, the Nuggets Pythagorean wins was 51 and they won 54.
That's a little better, but like...
Yeah, but they squeaked out 3 wins that they shouldn't have
been. Ooh, and 51 would have put them at the 5th seed.
Ah.
Take that.
And that includes the game that they lost on purpose.
Yep.
So, we got Blazers, Warriors. We should talk about Warriors, Rockets.
Yes. We saw the Rockets go down in a blaze of glory.
I was on vacation.
Yeah,
and I assumed that Game 6 would be a Rockets win. So I was like, I'll check in with this game later. Like, there's no way they're going to win this. And then I got to the hotel we were at. And I checked the score. It was like 118-113 Golden State. I was like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah.
And then I watched the whole game because I enjoyed it so much.
Okay. The weirdest thing about this game was Steph Curry's 0 point first half.
Yeah.
Right? How strange is that? He's had a problem with foul trouble in these playoffs.
Yes.
Which has been a troubling thing. And I think could also be a troubling thing against Portland. But... he went supernova in the second half. It was awesome. Man, I would just love a Steph game like that. It was so fun. I think that when he takes over and when Clay also has a good game, you just feel good about it, right?
Yeah.
You don't feel good about it the same way when Durant has a really good game. You feel like, oh, fuck, this is ridiculous. But you don't feel like happy about it.
About Durant, good games?
Yeah.
Because you don't like Durant and you...
I mean, I like Durant. I just like, it just doesn't make me feel happy.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm at. I don't feel the joy. Dislike Durant. I get why other people don't like him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just kind of like, whatever. Like,
yeah.
It's not like he's some like terrible player that joined this team to get easy rings. It's like he's now, like even Steph Curry said, like he was carrying them for so much.
Absolutely. He's amazing, and he's so good, and I even like him as a person. I just, like, I don't feel that sense of joy.
Yeah, it's not the same.
Right, if I was Marie Kondoing the Warriors, I would definitely throw Kevin Durant out.
Wow.
Right?
That's why Marie Kondo should be the next coach of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yes. Yeah, that's definitely a thing that needs to happen. Just Jason Kidd gets Marie Kondo the job.
I enjoyed many things about this game. First of all, I love a late game Rockets turnover. Just like
so gorgeous.
On schedule as usual.
Yes.
Late game fuck ups by the Rockets. But by the way, I will just, where I was saying like the Nuggets should stay basically the same for me. I actually think, even as someone who hates the Rockets, I actually think they should kind of just stay where they are for next year.
Ooh.
People are talking about they should fire D'Antoni. They should try to, I don't know who they would trade Chris Paul to.
The one that I saw today that was wild was Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook.
Okay.
Which, like, is the dumbest trade for the Thunder.
Yeah.
But also, like, might make them better next year if yeah, they're maybe. Stuck to Paul George.
Well, I mean,
fuck, man.
Yeah, like, probably because, like, taking anybody who shoots, like, 30% off your team in volume yeah. will probably make your team better. You know, like, but also a bad trade for Houston, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they find a way to teach Clint Capella how to play basketball against the Warriors?
Well, that's one of the biggest mysteries of this game is what happened to, or the series is what happened to Clint Capella.
Where in the world is our boy Clint Capella?
Yeah, that was very, that was a very shocking thing. I mean, it was, I thought, speaking of joy, I think it was very fun to see the Warriors bench produce the way that they did. It's always, I just think it's fun to see Sean Livingston do well.
Yeah. For Iguodala, because he's had such a bad year, Livingston.
And he's had a like rough career from the beginning.
He was really good on those early Warriors teams, yeah, yeah, but this I mean, year like, he's been bad.
From the beginning of
yeah,
like,
with the knee.
Yeah.
You know, when he was drafted by the Clippers. Like, oh, what a terrible start to your career.
Yeah. And Iguodala hitting 5 3-pointers.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, Iguodala hitting 5 shots that aren't dunks is ridiculous in a game. And he did it from 3-point land. That's crazy.
And they were giving him that shot over and over. And he was just like, I guess I'm going to shoot it.
Guess I'm going to make it. I mean, I've seen Andre Iguodala hit a game-winning 3-pointer against the Lakers. Okay, so I know it can happen anywhere, you guys. Did you know I have an Iguodala Sixers jersey?
Did I?
Yeah.
No. In my life, I've only owned like 3 jerseys.
I was a big fan of Iguodala.
Diametric opposite of you, Casey.
So good. I don't wear it often because it was white and it's kind of yellowed because I wore it with sunscreen. And I was like, oh, I got to get some blueing to get this back to normal temperature.
What'd you think about this game?
So I really, really think that the Rockets blew their shot.
Mm-hmm. For over, yeah.
Right. But I also kind of think that the Warriors played in such a way where they were like, fuck you. We're just going to put our foot on your throat and say goodbye. Mm-hmm. Right. They were so happy to play the way that they played. And they really just, they took that game when it felt like maybe Houston was going to be able to do it, but they just didn't. And it, like, I feel like I was more disappointed in Houston than I was like surprised or like happy for Golden State.
Yeah. The Rockets never felt like, again, it never felt like they're trying to seize that game. And honestly, I kind of never, I'm trying to think of playoff games where I feel like Harden has felt like he has tried to seize it, like, take a game over. Like there's not many where like he doesn't have any games in my memory that are like Westbrook style games where it's like, I'm going to shoot 50 times and see what happens.
Yeah.
And the last couple games, he was like not very present in the fourth quarter.
He's like Thanos, but in Endgame instead of Infinity War.
Well, don't spoil it. I haven't seen Endgame yet.
He's like Thanos in Endgame, so I'm not going to spoil it.
Okay.
Yeah, he's in Endgame. I'm just telling you right now.
That's it. I actually wasn't even, I guess he was, right? He's still alive at the end of the other
one. Yeah. He's in the promo material.
But is he like Thanos? Because is he?
I mean, well, I guess you'll just have to wait and see. This is going to be a real great point that I was going to make, but now I can't make it anymore.
I feel like I can know where you're going
a little. Yeah, good. Well, Kyle knows, and he'll tell everybody afterwards in the addendum to the podcast.
The addendum.
He's like,
it's been 3 weeks.
I mean, I don't care that much, but I have to see it because I'm doing a comedy show based on it.
Okay.
Is he like Thanos in that he gives 50% effort?
I really literally cannot tell you.
Okay, tell me this. What do you think the Rockets should do for next year?
Do you know who's on and off salaries for them? I know that they have Chris Paul at like 38.
Great deal.
They've got James Harden at another max. They've got Clint Capella.
They've locked Clint Capella up for 5 years, and I'm sure they're happy about that.
Super happy. And then after that, there's basically nobody of importance who they have. Like Eric Gordon's a free agent.
He's not.
Oh, Eric Gordon's locked up next year?
One more year.
Okay. Is that a player option? Or is that a?
It's not colored. Not colored in the chart.
And
PJ Tucker's in for two more years.
Okay. Well, then there's nothing they can do that's already over the fucking luxury tax with those six players.
Nene is one more year.
Oh, congrats to
them.
So
now they can go over the cap to sign people again?
People that are on their team already. Yes, they can go over the cap.
So those people would be Iman Shumpert.
Okay, let him go.
Gerald Green.
He'll probably come back.
Where's Joey Chi these days?
I don't know. Not wherever Isaiah Thomas is.
The big payday that I think he played himself into, Austin Rivers.
Austin Rivers played so well in these playoffs. It has made me question who I am as a person. I've seen Austin Rivers do just batshit insane bad stuff at so many Clippers games that I like was very surprised to see him as like a veteran leader on this Rockets team, like making good plays and good shots.
And he fit into a thing they really needed, which was like somebody to just be aggressive and take shots, like aside from Harden.
Yeah.
Also Fried.
He's gone.
Wait, Fried's on he is gone. Okay. Was Michael Carter Williams still on this team?
No.
He's just on the contract.
He's on the payroll because they waived him.
Danwell House.
I mean, I don't think he's good enough to like care whether he's on the team or not next year.
Like he might go somewhere. You don't think he'll go somewhere else?
I mean, he could stay, he could go, and I just don't care.
Yeah.
He doesn't matter. I don't know. I mean, there's nothing they can do other than like maybe try to sign a mid-level guy. And I like they have their biggest need is like a big dude.
So would they potentially have to use the mid-level to get to keep Austin Rivers, or is it a completely separate thing?
Austin Rivers, they would need to use the mid-level because whatever they signed him for, they only have non-bird rights on him, which means they can only sign him at 110% of his current salary.
Yeesh, really?
Yes.
Oh, well, so they only made $1.1 million.
Okay, so he was a...
he's going to make more than that next year.
He made vet minimum because he's already getting paid from who he was waived by.
Uh-huh.
Right, so he will... If they want to sign him, they can only sign him at the vet minimum plus 10%, which is the vet minimum goes up by 10% every year. So
right, but he will probably get a better offer from somebody.
Yeah, he's probably going to be gone. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Austin Rivers like get a full mid-level deal next year for like 3 or 4 years.
Because, and this is where it happens.
Yeah.
This is what I was going to say about, especially the Nuggets and the Rockets, why they should basically stand pat, is... If Kevin Durant goes to the Eastern Conference, like the Rockets have a good chance of going to the finals next year.
Yeah.
Like I don't take this game six as a referendum on whether they can beat the Steph Clay Warriors. I think it was a weird game. They were not prepped for that roster at all. They hadn't played against that particular style for 2 years or 3 years or whatever. I think they could go to the finals over that team. But I still think that even though you got two good games from Clay, like, by the way, I read an article with Joe Lacob. And they are definitely maxing him.
Yeah.
And I think that it's going to end up being a mistake.
Ooh.
I don't think that this team without Durant will be like, they will compete for the finals, but I don't think they're going to like be a lock to win anymore.
Yeah. Do you think they'll be better than the New York Knicks next year?
Yeah, they will be for sure. Even if they have Kyrie and KD for sure. Right. But like, I don't know that they would be, I don't know if you have a 7-game series between the Steph Clay Warriors and the Houston Rockets, as currently composed, I would maybe still think the Rockets could win that.
Ooh, all right.
And I don't think this one game is like that indicative.
So let's say bye to the Houston Rockets.
Okay.
I am going to miss about the Houston Rockets. I'm going to miss their uniforms.
You've fallen on this uniform thing a few times.
So many times, but here's the thing. I know a little birdie has told me that the Houston Rockets are going to be changing their uniform colors next year. So this could be one of the worst all-time takes if it doesn't come true. But my understanding is that they are going to have new uniformness next year. And so I'm going to miss them because they were my least favorite uniform in the year and I could dunk on them all the time. And now it's gone and I can't make fun of how bad their uniforms are anymore.
They are terrible.
They're pretty bad, right?
They feel like they have just recently gotten these. Like in the last, I mean, it's been like less than a decade.
Yeah.
So it feels like a
they got a new owner change. Though.
Oh yeah, he's like these things got to go.
These things got to fucking go. Yeah.
These are the like sort of Yao Ming-ish uniforms. Is that right?
Yes ish. Yeah. Yes ish.
Like in
they're like they're like slightly redesigned.
Right. Yeah. They got the guy
and the black ones are terrible.
Fertitta just started, right?
Like 2 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, if I bought a professional sports team, I'd definitely want to be like, I get to decide what the uniforms are.
Yeah. It's like Ballmer did it with the Clippers, and now they
Ballmer look like did a this. Great job. I'm wearing the Clippers logo. I love this logo.
Yeah. And the LA Times logo. You wear them both at the same time.
LA Times on the back. Is there anything you were going to miss or not miss about the Houston Rockets?
I mean, they're fun to watch, like, for sure. I won't miss the constant, like, was that or wasn't that a travel?
Yeah.
Plays where because like it gets in every game you're like, well, I don't know, maybe that was a travel right there and the game is shifting because of that. I don't like that. Like, I mean, kudos to James Harden for like creating something that's so new we don't know how to call it half the time, I guess. But like,
yeah,
I don't like that aspect of their game.
That's fair,
I guess.
Did you do you were gonna miss you missed
yeah the, you gotta tell me what you're not gonna miss.
I'm not gonna miss Chris Paul.
Hey,
fuck Chris Paul.
There we go.
I'm God. Not a Chris Paul fan either.
I'm so happy he's never gonna win a
Chris
ring.
Paul major yeah. enemy of the podcast.
God, I just think he's like so the most annoying player in the world.
Yeah. And Chris works for Farmers.
That's
the big one.
Yeah.
So we're a farmer's family.
I actually
here.
Have done a commercial for State Farm.
Oh, okay,
so should probably support Chris Paul. No, I just think he like there's so many. He's the most currently the most hateable player in the league.
I'd put him in my top five.
Who's your other four?
Really do hate Chris. Okay, you know a player I hate. This is like people are like, why do you even feel this way? I really hate Evan Turner.
Yeah, there we go.
I just always hated Evan Turner.
I kind of grew to like him a little bit in this Nuggets series.
This Nuggets series, especially, I was like, why? You shouldn't even be this far in the playoffs.
There we go. A good irrational hate. That. I love it.
Yeah, I've hated him since he was with the Sixers. Like wow, going way back. Like,
did you hate him at Ohio State?
I wasn't aware of him at Ohio State.
Nobody here also.
And by the way, he
basketball.
Played pretty well this series. Like,
no, he didn't.
The last
he played good in Game 7 and he had nothing left.
He played okay in Game 6.
I mean, game 6. Barely.
I remember thinking, wait, in Game 7 he had the most points in the last quarter, didn't he?
I don't know.
I think he might have.
It was like the last, I think like 10 minutes or something like that. Yeah.
He's basically in the, like you could make an all like annoying team, which would be like him, Lance Stevenson.
Yeah.
Like all guys that are just like, I got this, you know? Like you feel that coming off of him. Yeah. But I
Dion Waiters on the I got this team. That's not the most annoying team, but he's on the I got this team.
On the I got this team.
Yeah.
Who else is in your?
I'm rooting for them, but I don't like Chris Middleton.
Ooh.
I don't know. I've just never liked him.
Like, I mean, he has only played on teams that are rivals to the Bulls.
Yeah, that's part of it too.
You see him four times a year, and he.
They had a playoff series like. What seems like 1,000 years ago.
But it was just like 3 years ago.
Yeah, feels like 1,000 years.
That was the Giannis tackles fucking Mike Dunleavy Jr., which was, we talked about this on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, just insane that Mike Dunleavy Jr. is still alive, but also like was playing professional basketball 3 years ago.
Yeah,
Wow.
Yeah, I remember that series. I didn't like anybody on the team, but the difference is like Giannis, like he like earns your respect. I mean, come on, like how can you not like what he's doing? But like
Hulu has Chris live Middleton, sports, you guys.
Yeah, Chris Middleton didn't earn that for me.
How old do you think Chris Middleton is? Because he seems like he's 45 years old.
Yeah, he looks.
But also, his play style is a little bit like feels Paul Pierce-y and like the like he's not like blowing by you. He's just got a lot of offensive skill. But how old do you think he is?
I mean, we've talked about this before. I want to hear Chris's.
I'm going to say he's 29.
I'm going to go 28.
He's 27.
Wow.
He was college classmate of Devin Booker. No. I don't know.
Classmate?
Two other kids.
They took classes?
Well, he was, no, he was on, oh, he's on the same AAU team as Devin Booker.
Okay, I was going to say, I was like, what?
Also, his cousin, Josh Powell.
Oh!
Runs in the family.
Josh Powell used to be my Facebook profile picture.
What, really?
Yeah.
Former Laker.
Yeah, that's why.
Wait, so who else we got?
I'll throw a coach in there.
Ooh.
That I really don't like.
Jim Boylan.
Jim Boylan is up there. No, I don't like Doc Rivers.
I just
unlikable. I just don't like, I think it's part of the Chris Paul thing. When they were together, it's like, I couldn't hate two people more than those two people combined.
Great.
It was like, let's just have a whole game of literal crying at every call. Yeah. I love it.
So we'll probably talk a little more in depth about the Warriors Trailblazers series after game one. But we do want to note, game one, no Kevin Durant. Game two, we don't know yet. We'll find out. He'll get reevaluated.
Also, what about Rodney Hood?
Rodney Hood is day to day.
Well,
Rodney Hood will be available if all goes well.
And I also heard the crazy idea that DeMarcus Cousins might come back for the series.
He's also getting reevaluated on Thursday. So we'll have news on that then. But the series is kind of up in the air, like with who's going to be playing. But I mean,
we might be playing.
I got a 10-day contract just waiting to get pen on paper. I shoot 0% from three and 0% from two.
Yeah, but you don't miss all the shots you don't take.
That is definitely on the poster somewhere.
With Durant being out, if he misses the first two games, I would not be surprised if the Blazers grab one. What are you going to make a prediction
for? My official prediction for this is Warriors in five.
Ooh, even if
Durant misses two games.
That's bold. I'm going to Warriors in six.
I'm going to Warriors in six.
Yeah. I think that I love this Portland team. They're scrappy and good, but also I don't think they're as good as the Warriors. And I think that I don't think they provide the matchup problems that Denver would have for the Warriors.
No, because like Stephen Clay will probably still outplay Lillard and McCollum.
Right. I don't think there's a single spot on the floor
where
they're better, right? Yeah. I think Steph is better than Dame. I think Clay is better than CJ. And he has not played so far this series, but I think together when you put them...
Also, McCollum has had good games, but he hasn't been consistent either. Like, he's had bad games.
He has
even
had
in the Nuggets series.
Yeah. And I think Iguodala is better than Harkless. I think that Draymond Green is better than... who starts at the four for Aminu? Portland? Aminu, yes. And I think that
Bogut?
It's a wash at center because I don't think that Kantor is good. I think he's played
playing better right now than Bogut. But Kantor's had a great playoff.
Yes, he's had an amazing playoffs. And I can't wait for that regression to the mean to happen in my five-game Warriors gentleman sweep.
Well, and the thing is that like he historically has not been great on defense.
Yeah.
And now he's facing a team where... not necessarily Bogut will exploit him, but Draymond will exploit him.
100%.
I have no idea what to say about any of Kantor's Turkish stuff. Did you know, like...
There's a lot of very, very interesting political stuff in Turkey where he...
Like, the guy that he supports is not necessarily a good guy.
Yeah, we don't know, but also, like, the guy that he doesn't support is like definitely not a good guy.
Yeah, they're like all terrible.
It's like it's not good over there. And, you know, it's Muslims versus Christians for fun.
Those two guys probably almost as hateable as a Doc Rivers, Chris Paul.
Yes, exactly.
We can talk more about this series next time, but I want to take a little time to talk to you about the Chicago Bulls.
Oh, yeah, by all means.
Since I have their salary sheet in front of me, how are you feeling about next year? What do you think they should do in the offseason?
Well, I mean, in my lifetime, they've hardly ever made a good off-season free agent signing.
What do you mean? They signed Jabari Parker this last offseason. Yeah,
exactly.
Jabari Parker.
They signed guys Jabari who don't Parker. Even finish the season with the team.
That's rough.
Yeah. I wasn't upset about that signing, though, because it was pretty cheap. they had, I mean, it was like, what do you have to lose?
Yeah, it was like,
I mean, other than him, which we lost.
And truly, honestly, you got a good return for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Otto Porter. Yeah. They traded him and Bobby Portis, who was fucking gone at the end of the season anyways.
Yeah. But a lot of people on the our Chicago Bulls love Bobby Portis. I don't know why. I mean, he's a likable guy, but he wasn't
He punched Nikola Mirotic in the face.
He shouldn't have been on the team.
I love that. No, I don't
know. I was like, well, how is this guy still on a team? Like, I don't care how annoying Mirotic might be. He annoyed me in many a playoff game. But it's like, you don't punch your teammate. Yeah,
I did see Bobby Portis at New York in Vegas when I was at Summer League 1 year. So that's my personal connection to Bobby Portis.
I saw Zach LaVine there, not at that exact same spot, unfortunately.
Do you happen to know contract situations for the Chicago Bulls?
I'm honestly not sure.
Otto Porter has...
I know he's in for a while.
1 year, and he's got a player option for the next year. Zach LaVine's in for 3 more years at a pretty high price. Robin Lopez is a free agent. Omer Asik is going down from $11 million to $3. That's one of those reducing
contracts. And he's not on the team anymore. He was waived.
So, is this a stretch or something?
I don't think it was a stretch. I think it was just a straight wave, and this was like the last of his guarantee. He was only guaranteed $3 million for this next year.
Ah, okay.
They love to pay people that aren't associated with the team anymore.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
coaches, that's everything.
But that's what's cool about the Bulls.
Yeah.
It's because actually this salary sheet is very long of people that I've never heard of, such as Tyler Ulis.
Yeah.
Brandon Sampson.
You've never heard of Tyler Ulis?
No. Raul Alkins.
What? Tyler Ulis played for the Phoenix Suns.
He seems like auto-generated by a computer. Yeah.
No.
Jakar Sampson.
Are you kidding me?
Walter Lemon Jr.?
Walter Lemon. He was in those movies with Walter Lemon and Mathau.
These are very much NBA 2K names.
Yeah.
Shaquille Harrison.
Okay, Harrison was one of the Harrison twins.
Antonio Blakeney.
Blakeney, that guy can play.
We're getting into players that do actually see minutes, which is what's sad.
Yeah. But they really seem like generated. Yeah. Marshawn Brooks.
Marshawn Brooks is not generated. You remember Marshawn Brooks. He was on the Nets.
Oh,
like 6 years ago.
Timothy Luwawu.
Cabaret.
These guys are all free agents. I mean, their contracts are all over, basically.
Timothy Luwawu Cabaret. What's his last name?
I have jokingly said it as Cabaret.
It's something like that.
But I also say Cabernet.
Did Carmelo end up on the Bulls at the end of this
year? Yes. Yeah, they waived him. He was the team that they traded him to. They traded him to Chicago, and Chicago waived him immediately.
And then they have Lauri Markkanen on his rookie deal for another couple of years. Wendell Carter.
Wendell Carter Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Dunn, Denzel Valentine, Chandler Hutchison. So next year they're on the books for $82 million.
Yeah, and they're going to get Zion.
That draft is tomorrow, right?
The lottery? The lottery is tomorrow. Okay. Yeah. So when the Chicago Bulls get Zion.
It almost would make me... I would be happy, obviously, if they got Zion, but I'd also be a little sad for him because they don't develop their
players. No, they certainly don't. Well,
he's too good to go to waste.
No, listen, you got Garpax, and you're taking them to the next level.
So, salary cap for next year is projected to be 109. They have 82 on the books.
And with a top 4 pick, they'll get $5 million off of that. Right, so they'll sign up first.
And they've got enough players to hit their minimum number of players.
Yeah.
So would you say they have sort of one-ish big slot for a free agent?
Yeah.
Who do you think is a good fit for the Bulls next year?
Man, I don't. I mean, they're so inexperienced. Like the players, like that. It's all like, oh, we're hoping like Wendell becomes good. We're hoping like Markkanen becomes good. I think LaVine. Like I like LaVine's game. I mean, considering what he has to work with and, he hasn't had, consistent coaching there and everything. Like, I'm happy with him. Everybody wants to believe that Chris Dunn is, the point guard of the future.
He's not.
But he's not. And, I would like to see them sign, a veteran. Like, honestly, we already did it. It didn't work. But, a Rondo type of guy who, is, a floor general and, can just get the ball to scorers and can, they need, a locker room presence too, I think.
I'm gonna throw a name out there for you.
Okay.
Kemba Walker.
I mean, obviously, I would love Kemba Walker.
I feel like if they have the chance to sign Kemba Walker to a max deal, he's the piece that team needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? He's the best point guard on the market. I think it's Kemba Walker by a mile if the Bulls are able to get him.
Does he want to leave Charlotte,
though? We don't know.
Because he seems to like it.
He does like Charlotte, but, you know, Charlotte's future is not as bright as Chicago's, and that's just a fact. Charlotte's got players that are not, like, good, right? They got Batum.
Yeah. And, like, they're on the age-wise, on the downswing.
I mean, they do have some young players. They got Bridges, they got Monk, but, like, I don't know. How much can a weird detective from San Francisco get you these days?
Is that what Monk is?
Monk is a weird detective.
Is he in San Francisco?
Yeah.
I always thought that was an East Coast show.
No, dude, San Francisco.
I've never seen a single episode, but it was on for quite a while.
Monk's pretty fun.
I literally cannot believe that you've ever watched an episode of Monk and didn't know that it took place in San Francisco.
I think I watched one where somebody was in a play and then they used a real knife and stabbed somebody.
Yeah, at a play in San Francisco.
Yeah. Oh, right. And the play was called The Golden Gate Bridge.
Yes.
I missed that part.
Yeah.
I want to look up one real quick thing, but how would you feel about Kyrie?
I mean, it's feels unfair to gauge this after this series we just watched.
You're like, we're good.
I would he much go rather for 22. I'd much rather he went to the Bulls than to the Knicks, who I can never root for.
Of course,
for so many reasons. But I mean, obviously, I wouldn't be like, oh, sucks, we got Kyrie.
Yeah,
right.
I don't know what I would be an interesting fit to see how that works, and also like. We don't have a coach that I think is like ready to handle a player with the experience of Kyrie Irving.
Seems like
just make him run suicides until. Yeah.
Seems like a very moribund outlook on the Bulls' future, considering you don't seem to like their management or coach. It can be tough to like.
Yeah, it's been.
It's tough to get excited.
Yeah, it's been tough to get excited.
I think 4 years from now, I think the Bulls are going to be in a good place.
Yeah,
I mean, because Garpacks are just leading them to the future.
Also, 10,000 years from now, pretty much all the teams will have the same record.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
I don't think this would happen because I don't think he'll turn down this much money for his player option. But what about Dragic? Because he has a player
I really
option.
Like Dragic.
His player option is for $19 million though.
I don't want to sign Dragic to a max.
Yeah,
I would sign Dragic to a
15?
I mean, I'd definitely sign him to 15 for like 3 years. I wouldn't want to have him for 4 years.
But. Although people don't seem to dislike playing in Miami. Like, you never get that feeling of like, I got to get out of Miami.
Yeah. There is one person who doesn't like playing in Miami, and that's Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah. Oh my God. How much money do you think Hassan Whiteside is making next year?
23.
I'm going to say 20.
27.
Good fucking luck.
Wow.
It's the last year of his contract, though.
So as we wrap this up, I do want to talk to Kyle about Schmatz, the indie TV series that you've directed. Can you just like give us a pitch on Schmatz? Can you tell us about Schmatz?
So basically, it's just about a college student who has to move back in with her mom and her new stepdad. And they just have a lot of, it's like a, I would call it like a sad comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely a comedy, but it's just like kind of sad because it's just kind of a sad like world they live in. And
yeah.
It's, we did five 22 minute episodes is our first season and it's going to be online in September, October. We have a website. It's schmatz.com.
Awesome.
Where you can watch the trailer. There's a ton of clips. Just like news updates and stuff.
Yeah. You guys won some awards at a festival you were at recently.
Yeah. And we're in like a few more coming up. So we're going to be posting about like our screenings and stuff.
But awesome.
Yeah. There's a lot of Bulls references worked their way in.
Of course.
So there's still taking some shots at like the 98 Jazz team.
Of course. Yeah. You got to. Now, are you ever going to release, on like a DVD bonus feature, the Beat Poetry Schmatz episode?
Yeah, you can. It's linked on our website. Casey's there. It's one of my favorite Schmatz things. Was that one?
They did. They did some like what would you call?
Well, we did like two short films that were like under 10 minutes, and then after that, we were like, let's like build this out into like a show.
Yeah,
and so. Yeah, we did two of those, and Casey was in one of the. It was in the second one.
I got to read a poem, a beat poem, and get heckled by Gary Schmatz.
Yeah,
and it was very, very funny. I mean the whole show. I mean I've loved what I've seen, so I'm very excited to see more and hope that it does well.
Cool. And what's the website?
It's schmatz.com, which is
you got it.
schmotts.com.
Sweet. Is that one T or three T's?
Two T's.
Okay.
Which is exactly what people will want Draymond to get.
There we go. Draymond. Ding, ding, ding.
Hey, man, thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great.
And we should probably check back in later this week.
Yeah.
After
yes.
we see a couple more games.
Definitely. You got any shows midweek you want to plug?
No. Oh no! I'll be in the scene tomorrow.
Ooh.
At UCB.
I love those 8 shows.
O'clock?
They're so fun.
It's a mono scene.
Yeah, definitely go.
Veteran
see
improvisers. Yeah, how about you, Casey?
Tomorrow, Logan Everett's playing Tuesday Night Thunder at the clubhouse, and then I have another cage match thing. They're doing the cage match 3-on-3 tournament. And on the 21st, Bitchcoin is in the cage match 3-on-3 tournament. And then the next day we're doing, the 22nd, we're doing a cage match 3-on-3, or it's like a 3-on-3 tournament up in Burbank at the LA Connection with Tuffy the Bear. And they host a bunch of shows at the LA Connection. And so busy couple of weeks for me.
Awesome. Yeah. We'll see everybody next time.
Yeah.
Go to schmatz.com.
And get hype.
Yeah. All right. Bye.